I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another huge night of Champions League football for Celtic. Brendan Rodgers' side are underway against Lazio as they take their search for a first win to Rome. Bernardo and Forrest were given the nod in the two spots up for grabs in the starting 11. 17 minutes gone, no goals yet. And there's even Premiership action for you tonight as well, with Ross County welcoming St Mirren. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Kenny Miller, with a very strange schedule for us. We're 17 minutes into a game, but what's to get through between now and the end of this one, Gordon?
Yeah, but massive night for Celtic in Europe. A game that they must win, Gordon, if they've any chance of staying in Europe after Christmas. The fact that you mentioned there, the two changes, Bernardo in it in the middle of the park, James Forrest brought in maybe for that experience, played so many games, played in these big games before. It's so far, I think it's been a very lively 17, 18 minutes. Celtic really pressing as well, but Lazio look a danger. And the worrying sign for me was just early on, Joe Hart coming out for the crosses. We've seen what happened at the weekend. It cost Celtic from a set play. He just needs to be careful. They really need to defend well tonight.
Come on then, it's 0141 951 1025. As always, it is a bit different. It's got a bit of a different feel. And the way I always describe it is, if you find yourself shouting at the TV, come and shout at Kenny Miller or Gordon Dalziel instead. Much better, much better fun for you, much more productive. So as this game goes, if you want something off your chest, 0141 951 1025. Of course, at half time and full time, it is an absolute certainty that you must give us a call and let us know what you made of it, once you go and stick the kettle on or go for something stronger, depending how this one goes. And to fans of all the other teams out there, whatever it is that you've got on your mind this midweek, get your calls in as well. Any St Mirren fans want to give the thoughts ahead of the game against Ross County? Rangers fans were two games out from your Europa League clash, a big one in terms of winning, obviously, trying to secure progression, maybe looking to take a bit of the heat off the Betis game, which happens to come a couple of days before the League Cup final as well. So whatever is out there on your mind, it's 0141 951 1025. I suppose, Kenny Miller, what we've learned in this first 20 minutes is actually nothing new. Celtic are fine at this level, at passing the ball around and creating opportunities, and within the game, they're fine. We know they can compete. But can they actually go and win a game? That's the challenge. That's the thing that keeps evading them at the moment.
Yeah, it's me again. Like you say, they're pretty competitive in the opening 20 minutes. They've had a lot of the ball. It'd be a concern, the two or three chances that they've gave up already. I would say they concede. I think there's that stat that's came out. They've not had a clean sheet, or they've had one clean sheet in X amount of Champions League games over the last 10 years. So it does look like Lazio will score. So for Celtic to get anything, if they need to win, I think they're going to need to score a couple, which they always look like they can. You know, I say, is this opening 20 minutes, they've been pretty competitive, but it's getting over that line. I think they need to get that monkey off the back soon to get that win, because every time a Champions League game comes along, everybody's throwing the same things at them.
0141 951 1025. Come on, give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking, Celtic fans. How would you sum up the opening stages? I know some of you might want to wait until half time to share your thoughts, but you need to keep us company. I don't mind Kenny Miller and Gordon Dalziel, they're fine, but I'd rather you joined us as well. So please do pick up that phone and let us know what you are thinking. Since it's everyone's favourite topic, what have you made of even further news on the sort of VAR laws of the game front? Did you see FIFA's IFAB are considering sin bins to punish players for dissent or tactical offences? Are you in favour of that? This comes hot on the heels of last night. We had big discussions about some of the VAR calls And also brought you the news that they're thinking about widening the scope of VAR to bring in yellow cards, second yellow cards, corners, free kicks, that sort of thing. So anything else that's out there, you know that number. 0141 951 1025. Celtic do have defending to do as things stand. Lazio just working it around the box. It feels a bit strange reflecting too much on team news when we're a quarter of the way through the match. But we, you know, we've just come on air. I think everyone knew there was two spots up for grabs. Let's be honest here. That third midfielder beside McGregor and O'Reilly, and also the other winger. Celtic have Abada injured, Maeda injured and suspended, Palma suspended. So Paulo Bernardo and James Forrest preferred to the likes of David Turnbull, Odin Thiago Holm, and well, I guess it would need to be Mikey Johnson. There's not too many other wide options as things stand.
Yeah, when these decisions come along, Brendan Rodgers seems to favour Bernardo in the middle of the park rather than Turnbull. The wide area was up for grabs there, and it was a straight swap choice, sorry, between James Forrest and Mikey Johnson. Forrest is on the left hand side. I think he's brought Forrest in because of his experience. The guy knows how to play in these games. He'll work his shift. He can get you something, he can create, he can take you up the park. You'll probably see later on in the game that he'll make that switch. Mikey Johnston will take over in that position. But just now, Celtic have just got to make sure they keep their cell in the game. I think they're doing okay. I know they've gave up a couple of chances. I know I'm looking at Joe Hart, a bit edgy sometimes. But when they get the ball, I think they're doing okay. I really do. I think they're still in this game. They're trying to get up the pitch. They're... you know, they're pushing their fullbacks high up the pitch. They know they've got to win it, but they don't need to win it in the first half, Gordon. You know, as long as they keep their cell in the game, it'd be a disaster for me. I think if Celtic lose the first goal, I don't think there's any coming back from it. But 0-0, they've still got chances to score.
It's just football, I guess, Kenny, to be really blunt about it. You know, you're going to have to do without certain players. It's, you know, it's not, this is not unique to Celtic. It does go without saying, if you get to this stage in the Champions League, you need to go away, you need to win a game. You probably could be doing with a bit more availability in certain areas, particularly those wide positions.
Absolutely. Again, it's, if you're looking at it now, it's, I mean, take nothing away from James Forrest and what he's achieved, everything he's achieved at Celtic and the quality that he's got. He wouldn't be a first choice pick at this moment in time. The same for Yang on the other side, and probably the same for Bernardo in the middle of the pitch as well, with the absence of Tati in particular. So there is, you just have to contend with it, you know. But you're at this stage where, whether you're Celtic or Rangers, you come to this stage of a Champions League campaign, you are going to need to get something in these last couple of games. It's not going to be a Scotland job where you've qualified with two games to go, that's for sure.
Nice.
So it's there's always going to be work to do. But like Gordon says, they're right in the game. Lazio have taken control. They are looking threatening. But as long as they're in the game, and by the way, as long as they can keep 11 or 10 men, outfield men, on the pitch, I think that'll be really crucial to them as well.
Over
the
course
of this campaign, it definitely helps. Because I think in two of the games, they have kind of capitulated when they've went down to 10 men and even 9 men.
The biggest thing for me, Kenny, defend set plays. Well, I think Celtic.
Here's another one, and it's almost like Lazio are trying to put them right on top of Joe Hart, because there was about 18 bodies in the 6-yard box. He punches that one away and gets the free kick. Let's bring in John, who's on the line. What are you thinking in the early stages, John?
I know, as I've seen you, Ross, I've not really watched it. I'm mocking, but try to watch you on my Sky boats as well. But to Kenny and Gordon, I don't know what this guy Bernardo brings to the table for Celtic. I've seen him a few times and he doesn't fall many calls. I feel sorry for Turnbull and even Odin Thiago Holm. I thought Wayne Hammond will play tonight, and plus the night Kenny obviously being a striker, I thought he could maybe have went with O and Kyogo up front tonight. Kenny, what do you think?
You know, I just think that he's very, very similar to Ange in that respect, that he's not going to play two forwards. And I think away from home, like off the ball, they do push the midfielder up there to try and press. But I just think that Brendan Rodgers has got his way of playing. Obviously Kyogo's the main man, he's going to play through there on his own. And in terms of Bernardo, I'm like you, John. I feel for David Turnbull, and I'm watching and thinking maybe Bernardo just runs about more, maybe he's got more of a work ethic about him, maybe that's why he gets the nod over Turnbull, because Turnbull's quality is undoubted. But in these games, like as you've seen already, there's going to be long spells without the ball that you need to be chasing, you need to be disciplined, and maybe that's why he just gives Bernardo the nudge.
I mean, Gordon, let's not be too unfair, because actually, just on the basis of the 26 minutes, I think Paulo Bernardo's been decent. So, you know, let's not be unfair there. But the general point you know, clearly Brendan Rodgers and lots of Celtic fans don't fancy David Turnbull in these types of occasions. John's question is, though, what have we really seen from Paolo Bernardo to suggest that he's definitely a better option?
I think what we've seen him when he came on at Celtic Park, Gordon, as a substitute in that game, he was excellent. I've got to say, that was probably his best game for Celtic. Since then, I think he's been very poor. But Brendan Rodgers has looked at the situation tonight, away from home. David Turnbull, for me, is a terrific footballer. And I'll say it again and again. And every time that people write him off, he'll come on the pitch, he'll score a goal. Up at Ross County, he scored the first goal against St Mirren prior to that, 3 days. He scored the first goal again. He missed a penalty kick. Get man of match at Ross County. But Brendan Rodgers looks like away from home and a night like this and thinks, no, I'll go with Bernardo. I think I'll get more work rate out of Bernardo rather than, for me, the quality that David Turnbull possesses.
What do you think, John?
I agree with Gordon. I get it, but I just think, I mean, as that game Gordon was talking about when he came on for a tie, he looked quite good. But after that, he's not, to me, he's too pedestrian. I just don't know. There's something about the guy I just can't put my finger on it, but I don't think he's better than Thiago Holm or David Turnbull. I mean, and as I say, tonight I've played Forrest along with Kyogo, and I'd have put Big O up front, just be a bit more direct. But as Kenny said, sometimes Andy maybe not play too up front. But Kenny, can I ask you one question? Obviously, you're a Rangers man, right? See, in Sunday, he's had the chance, right, to close the gap again. I just think Rangers haven't got the bottle to do that these days. What do you think?
Well, listen, John, I don't know how I can disagree after dropping points and what, like you say, was a wonderful opportunity just to ask that question of Celtic, to put them under that little bit of pressure, and they fell short in the game. Yes, there was chances and missed chances, but it is also a similar story to what you heard from Michael Beale towards the end of last season, even the start of this season, creating chances but not taking them. The bottom line is they never got the job done on the day. So I think that this squad is still to prove that they do, John, and that's the long and short of it. You know, they won the league a couple of years ago now. Since then, Celtic have obviously been back to dominating in a league sense and in the domestic game. But they've got to prove that they've got the bottle, if you want to call it that, or the mentality to go to these types of places. This has been billed as a big month for Rangers. We're going away to Aberdeen, going away to Tynecastle. We've got the cup final, and then you've obviously got Celtic Park at the end of the month. It was always going to be a big month, and in this kind of first real kind of test against Aberdeen, they've dropped points, and like I say, it was after Celtic dropping points again in the league in the league race. You have to capitalise on these types of opportunities, particularly when you're playing catch up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was a missed chance, Kenny, but I've got to look at early on. I thought Rangers started the game poorly. I really did. I don't know if it was Aberdeen, but you look at Aberdeen, Cutley just long ball through the middle of defence, caused the problem early on. The lad should have took an extra touch and probably scored. Then they get the goal through the same thing, a flick on from the goalkeeper. But after that, you look at the amount of the chances Rangers missed, and even at the end, I think it was Lammers.
Got to score, huh?
Got a great opportunity to go and score. I think Balogun's missed an absolute sitter. Yep. One comes off the bar, Lawrence comes off the bar. But you're right. That's all hard luck stories. You've got to go up there, and doesn't matter how you do it, especially with Celtic dropping points on a Saturday, you're wanting to close that gap, you want to make a statement, you want to put pressure on, then you've got to stand up and you've got to win games.
John's got his point about Bernardo in nice and early, because he's done well there. That's good tenacity, good close control, wins a free kick for Celtic. It's definitely too far out to take a shot, you would have to say. It's been a bit of a better spell for Celtic. I'm not talking about creating anything, you know, clear cut, but a bit more pressure, a bit more territory.
Yeah, a bit more control. You know, they've got their foot back on the ball. They'll go through McGregor and O'Reilly. They've got a bit of control. They had a good pass up the right flank as well to build an attack. So again, this is where they want to be. They want to be in Lazio's half. They want to be pressing, counter pressing like they're doing at this moment in time. And then hopefully something drops for them, a Kyogo, and he gets that chance to go and put it away. So it has been better over the last kind of 2 or 3 minutes. As we say that.
Yeah, well, Lazio will break forward and Celtic might have a bit of a scramble on here. They're a bit lopsided. It's a great tackle, Alistair Johnson. I think that was one he learned in the Toronto soccer camp with Gordon Dalziel back in the early 2000s.
It's all about the body position I learned them. But I think Celtic so far, and I don't want to give them the bad luck, so I think they've been defending well.
You just cannot see a clean sheet, can you? And by the way, this is what they may well do it. It just, whether you're just beaten down by you know, months or years of seeing it, it just always feels it's like there's going to be an opportunity.
It's a lot to go through the full game, defending the way they're defending. But
so far, so good.
So far, yep, you're right. So far, so good for Celtic.
I mean, Jiggy has sent me a message. I've no idea if Jiggy's out there or he's getting second-hand information. But if he is out there and his first thought is to send us a message, I thank him dearly. He says there are fans still outside the stadium. Absolutely horrific. Really bad stewardship from Lazio here. Go all the way there and miss the first.
It's a disaster.
40 minutes
absolute
of the game.
Disaster. If you've made the trip there, you've got a ticket and you're standing outside wondering what's going on. Again, you've maybe learnt lessons for the European finals a few seasons back. The organisation, like these kind of games, needs to be good. Again, Lazio, that's unacceptable for Celtic fans to be paying all that money and travelling all that way to be standing outside and not getting to see their team play.
Yeah, I think you can see actually some empty seats sort of behind Joe Hart at various points. Not ideal. Thank you very much to John for kicking us off. Now, you know the drill on nights like this. It's not ideal, but if you're shouting at the TV, shout at us instead. Celtic fans, what do you make of the opening to this game? We've even had an argument about the starting 11, even though the game's 33 minutes old, but such is the nature of these early kickoffs. And yeah, Celtic doing just fine, as the guys have said. Neither brilliant nor terrible, probably somewhere in the middle. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
Just a solid enough start.
Look, I think if you're a Celtic fan, I think if you're Brendan Rodgers, I think you'd be reasonably happy. You know, we've not looked at Joe Hart making save after save and thinking, oh, it's an incredible save, touch over the bar. And I think Celtic, they've started to slowly find their way into this game. Just sometimes the final ball lets them down a little bit. But if they just keep going and keep working away, there's obviously a game plan there as well. And so far, for me, it's working. I think the most frustrated person will be the home manager, not Brendan Rodgers.
If you're looking for signs, though, did they look a touch open when they got the pitch and then lose it and Lazio sort of counter?
Listen, I think they've looked okay. I think their defensive shape has been okay. There was that one instance just when we were speaking last where they did lose it and Lazio did look like it could have been a dangerous counter-attack. But no, I think they've looked pretty good. They're pretty controlled, Celtic. That says this last enough. 5-6 minutes now, I would say. They have had a good control of the game. Most of the game has been played kind of for the halfway laying down towards a Lazio goal. So I think Brendan Rodgers gets in at half time. He'll be happy. Another thing, Lazio probably need to win this as well if they're thinking about qualification. So the longer they're in this game, the more they're going to throw at Celtic, and there might just be openings towards the end.
Yep, 01419511025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. Obviously, we are quite preoccupied with this Celtic game, so if you want to talk us through it, please do. If you want to shift focus, though, we can give that a bash as well. Rangers fans, early thoughts ahead of Aris Limassol, looking to bounce back after Sunday's disappointment. No official confirmation yet, unless I'm mistaken, about Ross McCausland's new contract, but widely reported that is about to be confirmed until 2027. So again, your thoughts there. Talk of sin bins in football coming out of IFAB this evening. What do you make of that? Get your calls in right now and we'll try and speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
40 minutes gone in Rome. Gordon Dalziel and Kenny Miller very much in Clyde Bank, though, watching on as Lazio fire from distance. It's an easy take for Joe Hart. Still nothing new, really. Still the same. Celtic kind of fine within the game, but Lazio certainly with more of the threatening moments in and around the goal. Nothing clear cut, don't get me wrong, but looks like Lazio finding a few more spaces as they go down. Celtic's right in particular. So we'll see what the last 5 minutes of the half holds. Celtic fans or anyone else that's watching, if you want to call and shout along at the TV right now, you can. And if you'd rather wait to half time, then in 5 minutes I would expect to hear from you and your summary of the first half. Let's switch focus with Darren in East Kilbride first, though. Darren?
Oh, good evening. How are you, panel?
Good, how are you?
Wonderful. Just on my way home from work. Best part of the day.
Absolutely, absolutely. What are you thinking with your football hat on?
Well, first of all, looking forward to Thursday at Ibrox. I'm sure we'll be absolutely fine and bounce back from what was pretty pathetic, to be honest. But it's Rangers in it, so we're all used to it. But my big point is with VAR. I know it's been a big part of debate recently. And I don't know, is there ever, this is the question I've got for you guys, because you might know, and because I certainly don't, is why do we not do what TMO do for rugby? Why do we not have the ability to hear in real-time decisions being rationalised? Because I think that would add so much credibility to VAR if it was like rugby, where you could hear what was happening and why it was happening in real-time, because it's obviously the capability is there, because they put out videos after.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you should say that, Dan, because I was listening to a programme today and they're actually contemplating that in the future. They're looking at all these changes, whether they go ahead with them, but they're now talking about after a decision's made, the referee can then go to his mic and explain the reason why.
I think there's a few different parts to that, though. There's one, because obviously the Women's World Cup, you heard them sort of explaining what the decision was, but you're not getting full VAR audio at that point.
No.
I think there was a comment at the end of last month, and the problem is these things do change so quickly, but the what was it? The IFAB's what was his title again? One of the top kind of executives, Lucas Brood, or however you pronounce it, he did an interview in the BBC about a month ago, and basically said there is no appetite for it, really, in terms of, he mentioned that he felt it was too chaotic, you know, too many voices, too much going on, just all a bit chaotic. But as Darren says, you then get allowed to hear it retrospectively, as you know, Monday Night Football have done, as actually the Scottish Premiership have done. So I'm not sure if fans would agree with that. And then also in the comparison to rugby, again, I think that was asked, and he said that he just felt football was different. You know, it was a different sport, different circumstances, subject to different levels of scrutiny, where every single word, you know, would be picked up on and analysed and looked at. So I think that was the end of October. I remember that interview, Darren, and it didn't sound like IFAB were keen on it. And unfortunately, that's going to be the driver, isn't it? It's not like, you know, Scotland can just suddenly do it. It would probably need to come from a kind of global football level, wouldn't it?
Never shift a culture if you just constantly say, "Oh, that's the way we've always done it." You know, it's the same as any workplace. It's the same as anything. You know, it probably won't work because this is that. But obviously, a lot of fans, you've heard it in this show, that there is the appetite for it. So I can't understand where he's getting the idea that there is no appetite. From another weird point of view, it'd be a good revenue stream for clubs as well. Obviously, rugby clubs make a lot of money selling those wee earpieces that you can listen to the thing as well. So if nothing else, they could make a bit of cash out of it too.
Here's your VAR conversation sponsored by insert big corporate machine here. What do you think, Kenny?
I'm actually just over the whole VAR thing anyway. You know, like when I'm hearing these new or potential new regulations that could come in, they're going to be looking at more, they're talking about sin bins. I want there to be less. You know, I want there to be less interventions. I want there to be more flow to the game. I definitely don't want to be seeing yellow cards or corners or free kicks getting looked at. You just want to, again, probably like a lot of the managers over the last month or so, that it's probably taken a turn, a negative turn at that, over this last month with some of the decisions and things that I've been getting wrong. So, yeah, I'm not. I've never been a big fan of it, and I'm not a basher of it. I'm just not a fan of it. I just think to bring it more in, to talk, even the explanations, I really think they're putting the ones out there that make it look good, and it's all nice and fluffy and it's nice and it's right, and okay, we're admitting this, or we've done this, or we got this right. I just don't think that. I didn't want to be hearing it, to be honest with you.
Do you not think it'd be great for a referee, cup final, Rangers Celtic, give a penalty kick and then explain it to the supporters?
And then everyone would take it and
they would
it
applaud
and understand
it. Say, thank
listen,
you
that makes
much.
Sense, yeah. It does, yeah.
It is a good question, Darren, and I don't think we've heard the end of it. I mean, I've been lucky a number of times. I've heard audio from a lot of VAR decisions, and I find it interesting, and I think it's good, and I think it helps. I'm not sure everyone would necessarily agree, and you just look at England. How they get their apologies a lot, and they always, as you say, admit what they've got wrong. don't know if ever, does it then help you? You look at Wolves and they're just like, well, okay, great. With all
by the way, how many times is it going to happen to Wolves? You know, yeah, like, this is it. So that's
night.
Great. We got it wrong and we've lost another penalty, yeah. And when there's been red cards potentially missed, it's cost us another point or 3 points.
So you almost have to just accept it whether you get the explanation or not. Anyway, right, thank you very much to Darren on the line, because the half time whistle has gone in Rome. Let's speak to Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards European coverage with Trustdeed Scotland. For life after debt, visit trustdeedscotland.net.
Andrew, take it away. What's it been like in the stadium?
Yeah, Lazio 0, Celtic 0, the half.
Been a good game then, this.
Just cut him off in his prime.
That's the best thing for him, I think.
Didn't even get to the end
all
of the
all the
score.
Way to Rome for that.
Honestly, I mean, I've had a good couple of nights.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Did you hear? Oh, I think, is he back, Andrew? Can you hear us? Oh, that doesn't sound good. That does not sound good at all.
You'd think they get the Wi-Fi sorted over in Rome, wouldn't you?
Who knows? Did you hear about? Did you hear about his living arrangements? Actually,
in Rome.
Yeah, he's in a shared flat.
No.
No, I've told. This has been like an ongoing theme. We've been trying to like get the. I think the boys have been trying to do it on a budget.
No, so expensive spare bed.
He's in a shared flat. Now, when he first arrived, there was no one else in the flat. So yeah. His room was locked. He had a lock on his door, and the other rooms, there was just no one there. But at any moment, he could go back. And anyway, right, enough about that. We can't speak to Andrew. I'll give you a brief summation. Celtic are doing fine. They are very much in the game. They've had some decent openings. They've not created any clear-cut chances. And Lazio have done pretty similarly. They have maybe looked a bit more threatening on the break. Celtic have had more possession. Celtic have had more passes. And what that's meant is that Lazio have been able to break a bit more, find a bit of space down Alistair Johnson and Yang's side, get into one or two areas. They've tried to load some set pieces right on top of Joe Hart. But Celtic have stood firm in defence. They've not cut Lazio open or created that much, but you know, they've had plenty of kind of moments in and around the box. And at the break in Rome, it is Lazio 0, Celtic 0. So Celtic fans, what did you make of the first half? Give us a call right now, 01419511025. This is good because you don't need to feel like you're taking yourself away from the game. Give us a call right now, sum up the first half, tell us what needs to change for the second half, and there's a good chance you'll get straight through if you give us a call right now. What do you make of it?
I think Brendan Rodgers will be happy with the first 45 minutes. My little concern is probably down Celtic's right-hand side. I think Jan needs to do a little bit more to help Alistair Johnson. I think that's where the danger's coming from. But near the end of the half there, Gordon, I noticed that Lazio's best efforts were coming from shots from 30 yards, 28 yards, 25 yards.
Weren't
they
great efforts either?
We're
all going over the bar.
Exactly, Kenny. And if you're Celtic, you're thinking, we'll take that all day long. Hopefully, if they get one in target, our goalkeeper will go and save it, because, you know, we've defended well. So I think Brendan Rodgers, 0-0. I think a big second half coming up, obviously, an understatement. And it'll be interesting to see that first 10, 15 minutes, how the home side react, because Kenny's right to say that if they're get any chances in Europe at all, they've got to win tonight as well to give themselves a chance. So there's a bit of pressure on both sides, but I think the Celtic camp will be the happier.
Give us a call, Celtic fans. How would you sum up that first half? What changes would you make in the second? Callers right now. Kenny, is that the scheduling of this game? Is that where you take that into account? Because on away game one in the Champions League or away game two, you probably more than happy with that, and you think, yep, you know, we look good for a point here, and maybe we could get one more. But as we know, Celtic need to win this, so there'll need to be a next gear sort of thing.
Well, you know, like, just touching on the end of that first half as well, Lazio captain wasn't happy. He's came off, he's pulled his captain's arm, but he's clearly not happy with something. A lot of shots for distance, a lot of bad shots at that as well. But I think there could be a really exciting second half, because both teams are going to need to, at some point, make a decision. So whether that's through changes to personnel, they're going to need to have a go for it. Because if Lazio want to qualify out of this group into the knockout stage of the Champions League, they're going to need to win this game, because they've got a tough game in the last game. Celtic, if they want European football after Christmas, they're going to need to go for it at some point. So we could be in for a really exciting second half.
Is that the key, Gordon? There is going to need to be a next bit. It's been fine. It's been okay. But not really looked like scoring either.
No, but I think that could be part of the game plan. Yes, it'd be great to get that counter attack and Kyogo in behind and maybe score a goal and give them something to hold on to. But I think it's encouraging. They're still 0-0. They're defended well. Joe Hart, you wouldn't say, had save after save after save. And obviously, he will look at his bench. This could be a big, important night for some of those guys in the bench. You're talking about, the caller said there earlier, you know, I was very, you know, disappointed it never started with O up front. All of a sudden, O could become a very important player. Mikey Johnston coming on, giving them something near the end of the game as well. As long as they keep their cell in the game, Brendan Rodgers will be thinking, we can create chances.
Yeah, there's not been much though, Kenny, not much to analyse. I can't see, you know, let's talk through that chance that Celtic had, or even that chance that Lazio had. As we said, it's been sort of openings or the beginnings of opportunities rather than any actual chances.
Which is actually unlike conversation that you've been having with Celtic over the last couple of seasons in the Champions League, because they have created and they have been that force. Again, it maybe just goes down to lack of action for the likes of Yang and Forrest and Bernardo, that they're the guys that need to be the ones that are either on the end of chances or creating chances, and their match time obviously this season has been pretty limited. But it's as the game goes on, it will open up, I've no doubt about it. I felt at the start of the game actually Celtic did look like they could create. They were getting into really good areas. Again, we're just watching a replay, probably the best chance of the game actually that they had was a Kyogo shot, was left foot for the edge of the box. Probably should have slipped James Forrest in and allowed him to go 1v1 closer to the goal. But they started okay. Kyogo's always a constant threat behind him. He's made a few runs, he's just not quite gotten the end of a few things. So it's it has been, I think Brendan Rodgers will be pretty happy with how the first halves went. They did then retake control towards the end.
And I think the second half, Kenny, when you look at the home side need to win tonight. And there'll be a part of this game where they start throwing bodies forward. If Celtic can defend, you know they've got the ability on the counter-attack. And that's where they could get their goal. So I think Brendan Rodgers will be sitting in that dressing room thinking, yeah, it's been a good 45 minutes so far. Let's try and build on it. Most important thing, defend, because he will believe that they will get a chance.
Ah, but the great thing here is it's more important what you think rather than what Brendan Rodgers thinks. No offence to Brendan. 01419511025. How would you sum up that first half, Celtic fans? And whilst you get your calls in, let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Yes, the call went to five rings, which means we have a rollover and the money goes up. We could make you the winner of £165,000 tomorrow when we make another call. But as always, and quite obviously, you need to be in the draw. Text YES to 61025. The texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and the entries since Marie won on Monday have rolled over, but all the rules for this network competition can be found online. The important bit, if you get the call from us after 3pm Wednesday the 28th of November, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £165,000. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Kenny Miller are here. They're both waiting for you to call out. Celtic fans, what did you make of that first half? What changes would you make in the second? Call right now, 01419511025. We've obviously been trying to keep an eye on it, taking some calls, talking about VAR, doing all sorts of other things. So let's get Andrew McLean's half-time eyewitness analysis from Rome. Take it away, Andrew.
Yeah, Lazio 0, Celtic 0, the half-time score in Rome. It's been a competitive game so far. Neither keeper really forced into any outstanding saves, and I think both teams will feel they've got a real chance of nicking this year. There were a couple of early chances, starting with Lazio. Isaacson driving down the right, he cut in, left with the chop from the edge of the box, didn't have any power though. Celtic, not long after, they went up the other end. Paolo Bernardo found Kyogo at the edge of the box, but that shot was pretty tame as well. It was also not a great sign from a Lazio corner. Joe Hart came out to punch the ball, just missed it completely. But Celtic did manage to clear the danger at that point. 10 minutes in, a really good Lazio chance this one, probably the best of the half. A lovely deep cross from Matteo Guendouzi,
it found Felipe Anderson arriving at the far post, but his diving header into the ground before bouncing over the bar. Celtic then unable to capitalise on a mix-up at the back by Lazio. Mario Gila taking the ball away from his own goalkeeper, sliding in there. It bounced through into the box, but Kyogo was just too far away from it. But both sides have had good spells of possession. Lazio probably just a bit more cutting when it comes to the attacking side of things, although it's not as if Joe Hart has really been tested on too many occasions. He did have to be alert though, 5 minutes from the break. Yang gave the ball away pretty cheaply. Luis Alberto then got a shot away from distance, but it was straight at the Celtic goalkeeper. But I think Brendan Rodgers will be relatively happy with what he's seen from his team so far. They just need to find that attacking spark or that moment of magic that could potentially see them get all 3 points from this game tonight. But the halftime score at the Stadio Olimpico is Lazio 0, Celtic 0.
As the second half gets underway, and no changes at the break, I don't think that's a huge surprise, is it?
No, because as I said, I think Brendan Rodgers will be quietly quite happy with the first 45. It'll be interesting to see as the game develops and goes on, the substitutions that he's going to use. I'm sure Mikey Johnson will come on the pitch at some time. I think O may be asked to come on and try and grab something. He gives you something different. But so far, I think they've been quite happy, but they just need to be careful and make sure they're concentrating and keeping that back door closed.
Yeah, and Yang does what Gordon DL's been asking him to do and gets back to help out this time, and Celtic get it up the pitch. But that is the challenge, Kenny. I'm not saying this is all his fault or whatever, but you know, James Forrest there, when you get those rare moments to break up, you kind of just have to make it stick. You have to make it count. You can't give it away and allow Lazio to get back and regroup and come back at you.
Well, you don't want them to have it all their own way and get camped in your half and it be like and your goal's under siege. You know, you need to have that, like you say, making it stick. You need to be buying a free kick, try and get yourself up the pitch. And to be honest, I don't think it's become that performance yet for Celtic, because they've had their moments where they've pinned like Lazio back as well. But that kind of opportunity that we've just watched there, where it did kind of fall at James, that's a real good opportunity where you can then go counter. And if you can get a hold of it and then you can get that second wave of support coming, it's a good opportunity to counter. Like we did see Lazio in the first half, have two or three of those opportunities, but nothing really came of them. So at the start of the second half, again, Celtic are well in the game. It's a game that could go either way.
01419511025. Whether you want to talk about this game right now or something else entirely, something from the weekend, you can pick up that phone. It sounds like a tough night for the fans out there, or some of them. Someone called in, they didn't want to come on the show during the break, but said that their son was out there and didn't get into the stadium until the 42nd minute.
Ridiculous.
Jeez.
All that way, all that money, yeah. But look, I think if Celtic can get something tonight, it'd be worth that disappointment.
Craig is in Whitburn on the phone. How's it going, Craig?
All right, I'm good. Yourself?
Not bad. What's your point for the guys this evening?
So my point is, from my opinion, I feel like through the media that Rangers are held to a higher standard than what Celtic and other teams in Scotland are. My reason being for that, there's a few incidents that have happened very similar with Rangers and Celtic. And whenever it happens to Rangers, it's all over the newspapers, it's all over every football talk show, it's all over everything. But then it seems when Celtic do similar things, it just completely goes in the wind. No one says anything.
Very
about
quickly, because this is tough, Craig, because the game's on and it's a nightmare for everyone. Kyogo's just had Celtic's best chance. He's just fired it past the post. Anyway, like what? Explain to me your theory.
So, for example, there was maybe about, I can't remember how many weeks ago it was now, it was about 6 weeks ago or something. Celtic played Hearts. Now, I've watched the incident for the penalty several times. Kyogo does what every striker does, and he tries to put his foot in. He puts his foot wide, hoping that the defender comes in and cleans him out, and then gets a penalty. There is zero contact. There is absolutely zero contact. I've watched it over and over again.
No, there is though, isn't there? This is the problem with these conversations, because everyone, like, and I always try and make this clear. I'm not saying I think that's a penalty. You lot can decide, but Cochrane's knee does hit the back of Kyogo's leg. Whether it's enough for a penalty or not, you lot can argue it, but you've said absolutely zero contact, none whatsoever. That's just not true, is it?
I didn't see any contact on that.
So remember, I don't know why we're arguing. I'm sure Craig will elaborate as to why we're going to argue about this decision in a second. But
listen, there's clear contact, and that's why there is the penalty given. But it's every bit of contact doesn't need to be a penalty. And that's what we're obviously saying.
But we can't
saying,
come on and say there is absolutely zero contact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Craig, the guys think there was a bit of contact. But anyway, what's the next stage of your theory?
So that isn't the only scenario. There's been a few. So, for example, I can even go back as long as a couple of years ago when Rangers won the league. there was a couple of months before Rangers won the league, we were in lockdown. Celtic, other fans were angry. Thousands of them went outside Celtic Park rioting. There was hardly anything said. The government came out and said something, but as for people in football, there was rarely a thing mentioned about it. A couple of months later, Rangers won the league. Rangers fans go out and celebrate in numbers, and they are slaughtered all over every single newspaper and every single show.
Is there a more kind of relevant recent example? Because I think for everyone's sanity, in a, you know, football aside, surely we don't need a debate on who broke what lockdown restrictions here. These are words that just people don't need to remember anymore. What's the most recent ones you've got for me?
So the most recent one would be the fact that entire season and the entire of last season, all that we heard in the news, every single time Rangers got a penalty was penalty Rangers. We hear this phrase now, penalty Rangers, penalty Rangers. Celtic have more penalties than Rangers
this season.
And I've watched some of the penalties they've been given. There was one earlier as well, Greg Taylor. There was no contact on him, and that was 100%. He just flew over the top of the defender. Not a word said. But as soon as it's Rangers, it's of course Rangers got a penalty. Of course Rangers got a penalty. I believe it's a narrative. I believe that people in the media should be professional and non-biased, even if they support a team. It's just like a player. You wouldn't expect a player that's a Celtic or Rangers fan to go in the park for, say, Aberdeen and not perform and intentionally not score or intentionally not do something to then help the team you support. You would expect them to be professional. So I think the reason why is because you keep saying this penalty to Rangers, penalty to Rangers. Now every Scottish football fan I speak to say, of course Rangers get penalties. Of course this happens. I believe it's a way to try to influence decisions that are happening. Even Celtic's bosses at the AGM this year were talking about penalty to Rangers, penalty to Rangers. They've had more. So why is everybody always going on in the news about whenever Rangers get a penalty? Celtic have had more penalties.
Here's the thing about you both, right? And as a fan of a wee team, I'll try and lump it together for just 1 second, even though you'll all tell me you're not allowed to do that. You would be the first, Craig, to say, ah, I like these Celtic fans with their conspiracy theories. How sad, how pathetic, haha, what, that's ridiculous. And now you've got your own theory that everyone's clubbing together to try and put pressure and make decisions go the other way. The exact type of behaviour that I'm sure you would phone in and ridicule Celtic fans for.
100%, but if they came away with evidence that is the exact same.
But this is the point. Everyone can present evidence as fact in their mind. As an example, you kicked us off by talking about an incident that had absolutely no contact whatsoever, and the two guys to my left disagree with you and think there was contact. So everyone can do that, where they present something as fact when it isn't really fact, can't they?
I understand that, and that's my bad. If there has been a clip on his foot that I didn't see, that's fair enough. But my point isn't what fans are coming on and saying. Like, I'm not bothered if Celtic fans come out with stuff about Rangers. It's going to happen. Celtic fans are going to come out with stuff about Rangers. Rangers are going to do the same about Celtic. My point is, in the media, the newspapers, talk shows, which, to be honest with you, this talk show isn't bad for it because you judge what you speak about based on the subject that fans give. But I'm meaning people that are writing articles in national newspapers, people that are on TV shows to do with football, everything like that. They should not be shouting things like penalty to Rangers, and of course Rangers got a penalty, and of course this, and of course that, but stay completely silent about Celtic. Well, Celtic have had more. That doesn't make sense to professionals. I understand fans having a bit of banter, but if they're going to scream and shout every single time Rangers get a penalty in the newspapers and they come out with this penalty to Rangers and everything like that, then they need to be doing the same about Celtic if Celtic are the ones that are actually getting the most amount of penalties in the league right now.
I actually thought there was a time where Rangers fans kind of liked it and kind of used it and leaned on it, and they would say, go, penalty rain. You would see it on Twitter. You would see penalty Rangers.
It's became banter, you know,
I thought that as well. But it does feel like this weekend we've now decided that it's not.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think when you've got the scenarios that where the penalty, the way it was given, again, even go back to Hearts, it was a similar incident at Ibrox, and again, very similar stage of the game that got Rangers' result. It maybe takes on more of a point in people's eyes. But the bottom line is, it's Rangers and Celtic get the most penalties because they're the teams that are in the boxes more. It's as simple as that. You know, decisions now with VAR, you can't pull people's jerseys, you can't get away with maybe a little handball. That might be a penalty, might not. Any contact in the box, whether it's initiated by the striker or not, is going to be given as a penalty because they still it down, they make it look bad, and they make a little bit of contact can look like a lot of contact. It's just, you know, it's the whole thing with VAR at this moment in time. Defenders are now going to need to understand you cannot pull a jersey. It's as simple as that. It's going to get caught. You can get close, you can defend, you can hold, you can make contact, but when you're pulling somebody's jersey, it's not a penalty. And by the way, the contact and the pull of the jersey on Sunday at Pittodrie did not make Conor Goldson go over like that, but he knows when he feels it, he can go, there's going to be a penalty. So the penalty of the Rangers thing has become banter, you know, but Craig's absolutely right. Celtic have had more penalties than Rangers this year. So it's, you know, I'd rather just, like, again, even like for a media perspective, a fan perspective, a pundit, I just want to be talking about the football side of it. You know, I hate talking about VAR. I don't want to dive into these conspiracies. Again, you just want the teams to go out and play. You want them to win the game, and you want to be talking about the football and the players and the managers and not necessarily refereeing decisions that are leading to penalties.
Quickly, Gordon, because we're very late for Beat the Pundit. Thank you to Craig for his call. 55 now gone in Rome. I think there was a good chance for Celtic a moment or two ago?
I think Celtic are doing very well. I thought Kyogo was going to find the back of the net. It was a great play. O'Reilly, you know, that's what he's getting into, those good positions, forward position, picks the ball up, gives him a terrific pass, takes a touch, and he's just a bit unfortunate. For me, Celtic are actually growing in confidence.
And there was Yang's header.
Do you know what? See, as soon as I said it, I couldn't remember what I was referring to, but I knew there was something.
It was, he's got to score. It comes to the back post.
Does he try and head it back across?
Well, he's trying to. He might be trying to pick Kyogo, who's standing in the middle, but I think he's close enough to get it down into the ground and on the target.
Okay, listen, we've played up front. We're hitting the target with that. We're going for goal.
I think it's a goal.
We're going for goals.
Similar to the Lazio chance in the first half, actually, when it was played inside Johnson towards the back post, and they missed it, bounced into the ground and went over the bar. But it was a really, really good opportunity. And by even if he was picking Kyogo, he got it all wrong. It ended up going roughly to the edge of the box. So it was a really good opportunity. Two good opportunities for Celtic in this opening 10 minutes of the 10, 11 minutes of the second half.
Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. If you want to take on Gordon DL or Kenny Miller, you need to call before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Kenny Miller are here. Kenny Miller's just spent the break telling us how he's racing his children for money in the street. That's the type of conversation that we've developed here, because it's a bit quiet in Rome. But a good opening for Celtic. Mikey Johnson's on for James Forrest, and he looked sharp when he came on. He picked it up, went past a couple. He probably should have just tried to get the shot away, tried to overdo it on the dribble, and eventually was crowded out. But bright signs for Celtic. Is still goalless, 63 gone. Ciro Immobile has come on. He happens to know where the goal is as well. That's another brilliant piece of skill from Mikey Johnson, but the pass isn't there on this occasion. So you can call us, you can shout at the TV, shout at the radio, let us know what you're making of the game. You can change the subject entirely. We've had a few Rangers fans on talking about VAR and various other things, so why not pick up that phone and get in touch with us after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Tommy is in Livingston. How's it going, Tommy?
Yeah, not bad. Yourself?
Not bad, thank you. You're a Celtic fan. What would you say is more likely, you beating the Pundit or Celtic going on to win this in Rome?
Depends on the questions, but by the sound of it, Celtic seem decent tonight.
They're doing okay. They're doing alright.
Yeah, I think every Celtic fan will be pleased with this performance tonight.
Need to win it though. 25 minutes of the 90 to go and try and do that. So we will see. You're right, Tommy, it does depend on the questions. I've had a look. I don't think they're overly difficult. That's all I'm going to say. Gordon DL, your win percentage is not great.
Kenny's, no, it's still up there.
Kenny's is 100. To mention it all the time.
Is it 100? Many played twice.
About 15.
No, you've not.
I have.
I'm the one that's played more than anybody.
No, you play.
I played a bit.
Well, he probably 16, has. He's on 10. Twice a week.
You're on twice a week. But though,
eh? 16
you,
times.
He's played a good few times. Anyway, we'll toss the coin, Tommy. If it's heads, it's Kenny. And you're usually on the outside, aren't you?
Oh,
you've got middle seat.
I've taken the bad seat. I never took the middle seat. I was given the middle seat.
Exactly. Don't want him to moan all night. Right, heads, it's Kenny. Tails, it is Gordon DL. His head's just that seat. It's Kenny. Up against
Tommy. Do
you
want to swap, mate? No,
you're right. In Livingston. So let's give Kenny some greatest.
Come on,
radio.
Tommy.
Hey, I'm so
do you know what I hope doesn't happen? I hope we don't get a goal during Beat the Pundit.
I'll show you. Oh, there'll be a shoes and fire there.
Right, let's give
Kenny. Oh, Donovan, how can you hear him?
He's flipped us back on. Let's give Kenny. I was going to say, I'm Mark Wilson. You don't need me to get beat, all right?
All right.
Give him some greatest hits radio. So he can't hear us. Tommy, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay? Top man, your 30 seconds starts now. Who scored Celtic's winner the last time they won against Lazio in Rome?
In Cham.
Which Scotland international plays for Fulham?
Matt Ritchie.
Liam Boyce has 28 caps for which country?
Northern Ireland.
Who's the current Cove Rangers manager?
Pass.
How many goals has James Tavernier got in the league this season?
9.
Jack Amakis joined which MLS side from Celtic?
Atlanta.
Who's the captain of Partick Thistle?
Pass.
Okay, Kenny Miller, let's bring him back. Can you hear us? Wait, is Gordon Dale's facials?
He keeps nudging me. As if it's going to be.
Why are you touching people so often?
Because I'm excited for him. He's 100% record. I've didn't hear Tommy.
Tommy did well.
No, he didn't.
How do you know?
Nah, because Tommy was too slow.
No,
Tommy too slow, is it?
Tommy too slow.
Right, anyway,
TTS.
Yeah. Same set of questions, Kenny Miller. Go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's winner the last time they beat Lazio in Rome?
Jam.
Which Scotland Forest. International plays for Fulham?
Tom Kearney.
Liam Boyce has 28 caps for which country?
Northern Ireland.
Who's the manager of Cove Rangers?
Paul Hartley.
How many goals has James Tavernier got in the league this season?
7.
Jack Amakis joined which MLS side from Celtic?
Atlanta.
Who's the captain of Partick Thistle?
Oh, Dockery.
Celtic women beat which team 13-0 at the weekend?
Pass.
Name any club Anthony Ralston went out on loan to from Celtic?
St Johnston.
Okay. Hey, give me the next question. Oh. He's at it. He's at it.
No.
That never went.
If you had been going for the tenner, maybe would have.
You get the first one wrong. It's Forrest.
No, it's not.
You're talking about
it. Yes.
No, it's not. Cham in the last minute.
Cham, Forrest scored the first.
Come on, you. Oh, he scored the winner. Oh, right.
He does
oh, that one.
Well
that.
Done. Yeah. I bet Forrest did score, didn't he?
As if I suddenly said.
Oh, you were
the
fire there, mate. I can't believe you never even guessed.
Tommy in Livingston, what do you think?
The Celtic one.
Just get past that.
Tommy, what do you think?
He's way too fast.
He was just so fast, wasn't he?
Racing his boy at lamppost.
Tommy was decent. Tommy got Cham, so you were both level after one. Tom Kearney is the Scotland international who plays for Fulham, which is tough. He's got about 3 caps, and they were all about, I don't know, not quite 10 years ago, but not too recently. Liam Boyce has 28 caps for Northern Ireland. You both got it. Cove Rangers manager Paul Hartley. Only Kenny got it. So he's 4-2 up. He's then 5-2 up because James Tavernier has 7 league goals.
Brilliant.
You both got Atlanta United. So, I mean, Tommy was decent. He was hanging in there. But
fair play to Tom.
Kenny was in fire. However, Brian Graham is the captain of Partick Thistle. Okay. Celtic women beat Aberdeen 13-0. You did have time to get one more. Anthony Ralston went on loan to St Johnstone, Dundee United, and Queen's Park. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 3.
That's excellent, mate.
It's a pumping, yep.
Yeah. Tommy, you just need to lick your wounds, mate. Tommy, never give out your second name.
It's just a tough school, Tommy. Hard lines.
That's a tough one. Cheers, anyway.
Good
Cheers,
man. Tommy. Thank you, Tommy. In Livingston, change for Celtic, and it is an interesting one because Cameron Carter-Vickers with the header saved. O has come on, and Paolo Bernardo has gone off. So clearly.
Going for it.
Always
going for
up
it.
Top. Who was asking for that earlier?
Yeah, well, actually, did it the weekend at half time. You wonder if it was a rehearsal. It didn't. I was going to say, did it work? Not really. I mean, Celtic scored from the penalty spot. Owen up top, Kyogo dropped in.
I say I don't like it.
At the weekend.
I don't like Kyogo doing that. I think you'll lose. Celtic lose a lot in the way they attack with his movement and his runs behind you, the constant threat that he gives. I'm not a fan of it.
I don't think he's that type of player to play in that position, but Celtic are giving that a go. And look, they've got to go for it now, haven't they? There's no point sitting in there, nil-nil. You'll get a pat in the back away from home. But
outside the box, it's fired low. It's saved by the Lazio keeper. Celtic are knocking at the door. There's nothing brilliantly clear-cut, but they really are getting to that final third quite often.
It's
quite
not a bad chance at, for all. Like, he's got a free shot, 22 yards to go. Listen, he gets a hold of it, but straight down the keeper's throat.
I suppose, though, Brendan Rodgers had to do something, but you're you need to go on and win this. You're trying to attack, you know, trying to go on and win it. You don't have that same, you know, usually you can swap the wingers readily, and you know, if it's Abada or Maeda or even Palmer, none of them are available. So in terms of trying to make an attacking change, it sort of had to be O for a midfielder, didn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, and it gives him that little bit of, you know, his strength in the middle of the park. If he does drop Kyogo just in there, gives the midfield a little bit of help. But I'm with Kenny. I like to see Kyogo right up on defenders, just looking for that chance. He's not had a lot tonight, but you know that if one chance just falls to him or one quality ball, and Celtic have certainly got the midfield players that can play the quality balls, Kyogo could be onto it, and this could be a good night for Celtic. As I say, so far, 71 minutes, I think Celtic have been excellent tonight. I've got to say, I thought they would have found it very difficult in Rome, but they've been excellent tonight.
However, let's see, it's a good block. The TV director, or his staff, I'm forgetting whose job it would be, somebody's having a tough night, because Yang has just said on the screen that Yang's been booked, but I think it was Matt O'Reilly. It certainly was Matt O'Reilly who put the challenge in. Down on the wing to stop a counter attack, probably was a booking. So into the referee's notepad he goes. 72 going, Lazio nil, Celtic nil. We've been saying it all night. Celtic fans, why not give us a call? You might be at the nervous stage though, where you're sort of getting a bit worried about the game rather than wanting to come on and speak to Kenny Miller or Gordon Dalziel. But certainly as soon as this finishes, because it'll be done in about 20 minutes time, we would be looking for you to get involved on the phones. It's going to be a big 20 minutes, isn't it? This is it. Need to go and find something.
For both teams, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lazio are still in a decent position. They wouldn't like to go to Atletico Madrid looking for 3 points, but they're a home side. They'll come under a wee bit of pressure. Now, we're obviously watching the game this round. Andrew's over there. He's sampling the atmosphere. I'm sure the home fans will be a bit disgruntled just now. And it puts a little bit of pressure on the home players.
Yeah, as we said, I mean, Celtic need to win tonight and then sort of go and do something as well in the last game against Feyenoord. So Feyenoord Atletico tonight, that's an 8 o'clock kickoff. So a bit to wait for that one. And Celtic obviously hoping, really, in terms of third place after Christmas, that Atletico can go to Rotterdam and win as well. So a few pieces need to fall into place.
Oh, they do. And I think, again, like that game tonight will decide. And if Celtic can get the result, that game tonight will tell you exactly what needs to happen in the last day's fixture. But it's not going to be easy. When you come into this stage, let's say you're not going to have qualified for the knockout stage of the Champions League. But to have to win your last two games against that level of opposition to potentially even get the Europa, it's a tough ask. You know,
like you know that the damage has been done, really.
Absolutely, it has been. You know, like I think the losing to Lazio at home in that last minute, even the draw against Atletico at home, it's like their games that were right there. I mean, and it could have swung either way, you know. And like we've said, at this moment in time, these games are falling the wrong side for Celtic at this moment in time. You know what? Tonight could change it because they've been very, very good. They have had the better chances in the second half. There's no doubt about it. But it's about taking those chances.
0141 951 1025. You know the number. It's obviously going to be a bit more unpredictable on the phone lines when the game is on. So maybe you're a fan of another team out there and you've been choking to get a point off your chest for quite some time. Now could be an ideal time to do it. 0141 951 1025. We do have Premiership action tonight as well. Ross County against St Mirren. What are your thoughts on that fixture?
For me, it's a big game. It's a big game for both. You know, I think Ross County need to get I think they had this run of games, obviously at the weekend at home, and then another home game tonight against St Mirren. They were looking to try and bounce back after a really, really poor run of results to try and pull them away from those like the relegation spot and the playoff spot. But St Mirren are just, they found that one again at the weekend. They had a wee kind of blip, I would say, for them over the last kind of couple of games before the international break, but they got back to winning ways there at the weekend. So they'll be looking to cement that third place with a win tonight. But Ross County, again, new manager in place, they'll be looking to get that one as well and start climbing the league.
Yeah, the new manager bounce, one of football's great cliches, Gordon, that no one can fully put their finger on as to whether it happens, whether it doesn't, why it happens. Derek Adams, as Kenny said, we saw him back at Ross County for the third time in his first game in that third spell at the weekend, just at a 0-0 draw with Kilmarnock. They possibly could have nicked it. I think Kelly cleared two off the line, didn't they?
Yeah.
but tonight a home match again, so a couple in a row at home for Derek Adams.
I listened to the manager's interview after the game, and I think he sounded very happy of what he's seen, the attitude, everything he got out of the players. But you're right, Gordon, they're down there in 10th place, got a good opportunity tonight, get a few points on, they'll lift them up the table a little bit, give them that bit of confidence, they're at home. Where you look at the Paisley buddies going up there, they're only 2 points now in front of Hearts. Hearts breathing down their neck. So it's important for them to get a good result. I think that'll be a very good game tonight in Dingle.
Yeah, 10 without a win for Ross County, hence why they've changed manager. Like 5 draws within that spell as well. It's not all been defeats. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson ahead of that one tonight.
We go up there confident. As I say, we've only lost 3 games all season. We sit in a really healthy position in the league. We have to go with the right attitude, which the boys will do, and we've got an opportunity to use that game in hand over some teams to extend their position. We'll face a tough task. Derek will be organised. He'll have his team very organised. They'll be direct, and they'll try and test you. So as I say, we have to match that test. They haven't got new personnel. A new manager sometimes gives them a spark, and we have to make sure we don't allow that to happen and concentrate solely on ourselves.
Yeah, you forget how good the opening run was, because he says we've only lost 3 all season, which is true. The 3 were within the last 8. You know, it's that kind of last period there that things have slowed up a bit. But that's just natural. You can't, if you to go back to that very basic level of credit that we give teams. Had you offered St Mirren the chance to sit third going into December, they would have taken your hand off.
Incredible. Yeah, I've seen them a couple of times this season. The one thing I will say about them is they're very well organised. They work very hard as a unit. They're difficult to break down. And I think the manager's doing a terrific job there, I've got to say. But that will be a difficult game. As I said, Derek Adams coming back. He's had a few days now, get his feet settled down, look at some of these players. You know, just analyse the full club again, and he'll be looking to try and turn this into 3 points tonight, because that would give them some boost. They could leapfrog, is it Aberdeen and Motherwell probably, with 3 points? So, great incentive.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. The big game in Rome, I actually thought that decision had gone Celtic's way, because both teams are just giving the ball away. Yang's tried to take his man on, lost it. It left Celtic a bit exposed, but then Lazio played a crazy pass and let Celtic break through. Kyogo, a really positive run from him. Then he couldn't find a teammate, and then Yang came in with the late challenge and went into the book. I just thought there had maybe been a nudge on Kyogo prior to that, but apparently not. And with 73 gone, it is still goalless there. So your invitation remains, Celtic fans. Don't shout at the telly, shout at us. That's the rule. 01419511025 on the phones. Now, whilst you get your calls in, and we'll get the guys a full-time teaser soon as well, let me run this past you.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Yes, Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas is back. We know that Christmas can, you know, as much as it's an enjoyable time, it can be a tough time for a lot of families, and this year things are going to be even worse for those families. We're all aware of the cost of living crisis, so for those families that were already struggling, this could be a real tough time, a real difficult couple of weeks ahead. So we're just trying to make a bit of a difference and asking you to help by supporting Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. We're going to hear a bit about where your money goes, because it's always worth sort of hearing the people that are impacted in a positive way by it. So Scottish families affected by alcohol and drugs are a group which help children and young people whose parents have fallen into addiction. Now Pam Burns works for them. She tells us how the kids are sometimes even left without food because unfortunately that's not the priority in their house.
Myself and all the staff, we can fill our boots with food, you know, food that we know the young people want to eat. And then when they're out with us, we've always got food available to offer to them, because food isn't always a priority. The parents' priorities may always be drugs and alcohol, and the young people often don't have a lot of food in their house. If we've got food in our cars, we can offer that out when we're dropping them home. And also every time they get in their car, they can get something to eat.
It goes without saying, I think everyone would like to try and help those children that Pam's speaking of. As many as 1 in 2 live in poverty in some parts of Glasgow and the West. Now, the great thing about Cash for Kids is we can guarantee that every single penny raised goes straight back to those families and children that need your help, 100% of the fund. So it makes such a difference to them. And if you want to find out details or donate, please go to Clyde1.com/mission. And a quick mention to some of the people already doing good things for Cash for Kids. The Baines Charitable Trust from Baines, the family bakers, Foresters Financial, Howdens in Cumbernauld and East Kilbride, Unison and the Wheatley Group on Cochrane Street. They've all made sizeable donations which have been vital, but every little helps, as the phrase goes. Whatever you can, please help out. Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Lazio 1, Celtic 0, and it's Ciro Immobile with the goal. In many ways, Celtic fans, you will be all too familiar with this picture. There has been very little between the sides. Celtic have had openings, Lazio have had openings, and in fact Lazio have made it two. That will be that 85 gone, and it's Immobile off the bench to get a double. They are on the pitch, the staff from Lazio, the substitutes, they know what that means. It's a brilliant result for them in the context of the group. It is going to be yet another Champions League defeat for Celtic, Gordon and Kenny, from a game which there really wasn't much in. They cannot seem to get results.
It's the same old story. Celtic fans will just be sitting looking at this, the pictures coming in just now, going, shaking their heads. Same old story. I feel for Celtic, I really do. The first goal came from a break in the box, and Carter Vickers get caught flat footed. The lad got in at the back post, scored the goal. All of a sudden, you're under that little bit of pressure, and as normal, it's like buses.
Oh, jeez. Well, I thought you were going to finish that sentence off.
No, there's no need.
Kyogo, it was 0-0. Celtic were looking like they possibly were the most likely to score. Kyogo broke up the pitch, lost the ball, Immobile scores again, game over, another defeat, 1 point on the board, and all the same questions will come out again at the end of this one.
Yeah, they will. And again, it'll all come back to the exact same points. It's moments in games, it's taking chances, it's not taking chances, it's the break of a ball. I mean, the first goal's a deflection. You know, it's a wicked deflection. It falls right into the path of the most dangerous man on the pitch. And Immobile dispatched into the top corner. And that was just wonderful striker play from there. He uses his body. It's not a free kick. He uses his body well just to put scales off balance. And then he aims to shoot, chops inside Carter Vickers, who couldn't move his feet quick enough, slots it past Joe Hart. It's a wonderful double.
He's had a lot of credit, and deservedly so. Do scales need to do better?
I think he needs to be stronger. He's, again, without seeing it again, he might find himself in not a good position, wrong side of the striker in the box. But again, you might put that down to the movement and the experience and the position of Immobile. But it was a wonderful goal.
It's amazing the subs come on and made such a difference. You were looking at Celtic, can a sub come on and be the hero tonight? This is a lad that's scored, what, 200 goals, maybe, probably more. He's come on tonight and he shows why he is a top striker. Produces a good. I feel sorry for Celtic. They were going along very nicely indeed, and you're thinking they may just get a chance, defending well, and then within minutes.
This all the time,
yeah,
though, isn't
this game's so turning its head.
Anyway, 3 minutes of the 90 left, then Celtic fans, definitely over to you to get your thoughts in. Where has it gone wrong tonight? And all the usual soul searching about trying to get results at this level, which clearly is not happening. Andy is a Rangers fan though. Andy, oh sorry, very quickly, let me give the guys the question.
The full time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours, now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Question tonight is, who were the last 5 players to wear number 9 for each Celtic and Rangers? So the last 5 number 9s for Celtic,
Defoe.
And the last 5 number 9s for Rangers.
Griffiths.
Defoe, yes. Griffiths, yes.
He's just getting, keep going then. Keep going with the easy ones if you want. Colak.
Yep.
One more guess from you, Gordon DL. See, you were number 8, weren't you?
I was 8.
Even though you were a striker.
Kenny was 9.
Dembele?
Nah.
Oh, Edward?
No.
No?
Who did you say there?
Edward. Nope. Who's the 9 in that team, man? Was it still Griffiths?
Pat Shabanovic?
It was.
Correct. Good shout.
Right, we'll leave it there. That's 4 down, 6 to get. Let's get Andy. What's your thoughts on Rangers tonight, Andy?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Good, good.
I tried going actually Saturday after, you know, 5 o'clock, and I was just saying to the producer, I wasn't too worried about Sunday until I heard all the reports coming in about all the rest of the game, saying, oh, they locked off the pace after the break. And I'm saying, I hope we're no, but the first half, we were definitely after pace. I don't know why. I really don't know why we're after pace. It depends on Luke Shakey. And I keep saying it, we need to score more and more goals with the chance we're getting. We're scoring at least 3-4 goals a game.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, Philippe Clement, he's a modern man, a modern coach. I saw him reference XG in his post-match and saying, you know, Celtic, Rangers had chances to win the game, which of course they did, no doubt about it. But they're sort of that, like, you would still expect Rangers and Celtic, for that matter, you would expect them to have more chances than their domestic opponents. You almost take that as a given, don't you?
No, you do, and they should have. You know, you've got the bigger budget, you've got the more resources. Again, that comes with better players. I actually felt that the chances that Rangers had, if you look at the best chances on Sunday, two of them fell to Balogun, one for the cross. He's got to score, he heads it straight at Kyle Roos. The second one, he's a bit more unlucky because it's just coming over the defender and he makes great contact. If it goes either side or he keeps it below the bar, there's no doubt it's a goal, but it was a really, really good chance. I can't really think of two like really, really clear-cut opportunities that were created through really good play, really pulling Aberdeen apart. I mean, you had the Lauren shot that went off the bar as well, but again, that was never going
Danilo
in.
Danilo, a wee effort inside.
Danilo inside down the first half.
Angle.
You know that Tom Lawrence, when he cut in the first half as well, I still think it would have been a really, really good finish. I mean, that was actually a really good play to create that. And again, it was between two players that I've wanted to see on the pitch for a while at the same time, as between Lawrence and Cantwell. There was the over, goes to Cantwell, goes back to Lawrence, he cuts back in and puts it in the corner. Again, another good save. But I think, and similar to the game we've just watched, when you get moments in tight games, you have to take them. And you know, and that's just where players can make their name. In the big moments in the big games, you're making a difference. You know, and in that game on Sunday, after what had happened with the drop points at Celtic Park on Saturday, it was really, really important that Rangers took this moment to close the gap and ask the question. When you're talking about a title race, you know, if you want there to be a title race, I mean, that was the chance. That was the real opportunity there to go and set a bit of pressure.
You really think that was rust after the break, Andy? Is that what you put that down to?
I don't know why. I mean, you think you get new manager, you get 2 weeks to work with the players, get his thoughts through how they're going to play and they're sitting, they're going to play. But, I mean, the first 10, I mean, their defence was just two big long balls. You're going, where's your defence here? I mean, Butler made a great save.
It can happen, Gordon. I think a lot of, you know, Brendan Rodgers said he felt Celtic were a bit off it because of the break. He very quickly said, look, it's not an excuse, you still need to go and win a game. I guess the flip side would be, well, Aberdeen didn't look rusty after the break, but that's because they raised their game and round we go.
I think Aberdeen started the game well. I think the cause.
But I'm talking about this perception that teams can be rusty.
Kenny talks here about Rangers' chances. Yes, Rangers gave up a chance early on. Lad should have done better. Majorski gets the goal, 1-0. Aberdeen, I think, were decent for 35, 40 minutes for me. Second half, you look at the possession stats, Rangers dominated that game at Pittodrie. Dominated the game. And it's all about scoring, it's all about timing of the goals. I think if I was in the Rangers camp, were Rangers at their best? Probably not. I would have been disappointed looking at that game overall and coming down the road with just 1 point. I've got to be honest with that.
And see the rusty side of it. We've got to also flip it. What is it? Is it rusty because they've had 2 week break? Or, by the way, is it the scheduling of too many games? You know, it can't be both, you know. Like, you're either wanting a wee break to get back fit and get players back for injury and, by the way, have a bit of time on the grass for Philippe Clement to work with his players and make them better. By the way, I thought Rangers were okay on Saturday. This was not like as much as a lot of comparisons were drawn between the Hearts game at Ibrox. Rangers were rubbish that day, you know, and they did get out of jail. If they had won that game, I don't think you could have said they got to jail. Even if they got that late goal with Lammers, again, there's another chance, sorry. Lammers should have scored with that header and it was a brilliant chance. But I just think, like, you're saying Rangers aren't at the best. I don't think we've seen what Rangers' best is at this moment in time, because I think that was a decent enough performance for what I've watched for the most of the season.
Have Celtic been awarded a penalty here?
It looks like it looks something. It was late in the day. Is that a penalty for Celtic?
Yeah, well, O was up and there was a nudge in the back from Patrick. He's been shown a yellow card. You'd have to assume so. It's a penalty to Celtic. It's not going to be enough to get anything from this game because they're 2-0 down and we have already passed the three additional minutes. So it's just going to be a consolation. And I'm surprised there's such a big deal being being made of it. I suppose, though, that is still to be checked by VAR. It might be overturned. What did you think? I thought it was minimal contact, but I did sort of think he took
I was mid-rant.
Yeah,
I was off, though. Did you not see it?
No, I'm very sorry.
O jumps, and there's a one hand, like, you know, the kind of forearm into the back. See, the good thing about the live stream, we can act it out. And he's just nudged O as he's gone under the ball. Didn't think there was loads, but I actually would quite like to see refs clamp down on that stuff. Because see, when you're in the air, you guys know better than me. A tiny touch can...
Yeah, I mean, it can really put you... Yeah, but it's also, it's, again, because I've not seen it, it's the context of it, because if the defender's just...
He's going to scream.
Ah, he's not going to give it. He's going to overturn it. There we go.
Unless he's strong.
Yeah, nah, it's not happening. He's coming to the screen, so that will not be given. Usually. We know the drill by now. The referee's been told there's a good chance of an error here. Do you want to come and... Take a look. Off he goes. And we'll get another look at it as well. The slow motion does nothing for anyone. Do you know what it is? I don't actually think the angle's very good. Nah, that's not a penalty.
Unfortunately for Celtic, it's not a penalty kick.
No, there's not enough. Very surprised the ref gave it in the first place, actually. Yeah.
I think it's because you can see the way maybe O's reacted to it. He maybe thought there was more of a nudge, but no, he wasn't getting anywhere near the ball either. So it was... no penalty.
Referee's got his finger on. He's pointing at the screen.
Do you know something? Kenny and I and you have made up our mind.
Oh, there he are. He's made his up as well.
Get yourself out there.
I don't think that was too long.
No penalty.
There you go. Even as bad as that, Celtic as well. Even when you think there's a penalty to have something to cheer, it is taken away. No penalty. We've now played 5.5 minutes beyond the 90. So that will be that. No penalty to Celtic. Lazio 2, Celtic 0. And it will finish there. Thank you to Andy on the line. We were talking about Rangers at Aberdeen at the weekend, whether it was rust after the international break and what happened there. But we're about to turn our attentions to full time in Rome. So Celtic fans, what did you make of that? It feels like we could probably play back the calls from various Champions League games over the last few seasons. But, you know, word it in a different way if you can. That's your challenge. 0141 951 1025. Always somehow predictably falling short, even in games more than capable of kind of mixing it for the 90 minutes. The big moments, Celtic never seem to get them right. Lazio have, and it is 2-0 there. So good time to call us, 0141 951 1025. How would you two sum it up?
I feel for Brendan Rodgers and Celtic. Again, it was another decent enough, particularly away from home performance in Europe where they had control. I think they've had the most possession. Second half, they had the best chances, I think, through Yang's header, through the one at Kyogo, pulled past the post. And then they've just been hit with a 1-2 at the end by Immobile, a top-class striker. Two really good goals, good finishes. But they were in this game, and it's just another day, missed chances.
Let's try and get the eyewitness account from Andrew McLean.
Yes, Lazio 2, Celtic 0, the full-time score, and Celtic know for certain that they'll have no European football after Christmas following two late Ciro Immobile goals. And it was a game in the end that was competitive, but it's the same old story for Celtic. They felt that they will have competed in this game with Lazio, but in the end, they come away with no points, and that European journey will come to an end at their next group game. There were a couple of early chances for both sides. Isaksson had one for Lazio, that was a team effort, and then Kyogo had one at the other end. It was easy for the goalkeeper to gather there. Then 10 minutes in was probably the best chance of the first half, a really nice deep cross from Matteo Guendouzi. It found Felipe Anderson arriving at the back post. You thought he was probably going to score with his head, but he was diving in, it bounced off the ground and then over the bar and away from safety. Before the break, there was an easy save for Joe Hart from a Luis Alberto strike, this one from distance. It was a good start to the second half for Celtic, though. They needed some sort of attacking spark, and there was a real big chance for Kyogo as well. He was at an angle in the box after receiving the pass from Matt O'Reilly, but he dragged that one wide. Then poor decision-making from Yang as well, which gave up another chance for them, because it was a good cross to him at the back post, but instead of going for goal, he tried to head it back across the box, but it wasn't close to any of his teammates, and it ended up just bouncing away from everyone. At the other end, Isaksson had another effort, this one at an angle as well, went just by Joe Hart's post. Celtic knew they had to go for it. They brought on Mikey Johnson, who had a couple of nice touches very early on. They brought on O as well and had him and Kyogo on the pitch at the same time, and right after that it looked a bit more positive. They forced a couple of saves. Cameron Carter-Vickers with a header from a corner, and then another one from O, that one was a shot from distance. They tried to pick up the pace, but so did Lazio as well. And the one thing that they did that really changed the game was they brought on their main man, Ciro Immobile. And it was really cruel, I think, the way that the first one went in, because the ball came into the box. It was a big deflection, but it landed at the feet of Ciro Immobile, who was never going to miss from a few yards out. He found the top corner and ran away in celebration. This whole stadium absolutely erupted, and if you thought it erupted then, we'll wait till a few minutes later, because he popped up again. This time he got the better of Liam Scales when the ball looped into the box. He then knocked it by Cameron Carter-Vickers and slotted it past Joe Hart, and at that point all of Lazio's staff and their substitutes were on the pitch celebrating together. They knew they'd won the game, they knew it was a massive victory for them, and Celtic knew that their dreams of playing European football after Christmas were over. They thought they maybe had a late chance from the penalty spot because one was awarded. It was a push on the back of, oh, that's what the referee initially thought anyway. He was then sent to the VAR screen and ended up disallowing that penalty, or overturning his decision, I should say. But the big travelling support over to my right, around 3,000 Celtic fans have made the journey, but they will leave here disappointed. But once again, I said it at the start, it is the same old story for Celtic. Competitive, but they just can't get those points in Europe. The full-time score here at the Stadio Olimpico is Lazio 2, Celtic 0.
Over to you, Celtic fans. What did you make of it? 01419511025. Call us now. We'll get you on next.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Full time in Rome, Lazio 2 Celtic 0. What did you make of it? It's that simple, the question. Celtic fans, we've been here before. It doesn't mean we won't do it again. 0141 951 1025. Where did it go wrong? And again, for what feels like the 50th time, what does this say about Celtic overall in the Champions League? Just a quick one, if you want to head over to Clyde1.com, we've also got a range of presents to hand out just in time for Christmas with our competition presents under the tree. We've got a nice Christmas food hamper. Oh, you were just saying you were starving there.
Oh, I'm starving.
Reed's Food Services have put the Christmas food hamper up there. They can take the stress out of Christmas. Home deliveries across Glasgow and the West, 5 or 6 days a week, 24-hour telesales, answering machine service, so you can always get in touch. They're a family-run business. It's great to support local businesses as well. You can win it at Clyde1.com. So very quickly, whilst we get some calls on, I think, can I see Brian? I think Brian is about to come through and make a point to us. Can you name the last five players to wear the number 9 for Rangers and for Celtic? You were doing pretty well. You've got Colak, Defoe, Haksabanovic, which is a good one, and Griffiths.
Surely, is it Dessers or Danilo that's got 9 there?
Can you give me one?
I'll Dessers. Go Dessers.
Dessers, yes.
Danilo's got 2 names.
Doesn't count, unfortunately.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, me. Yeah.
For which team?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, well, it's for Rangers.
No.
Celtic? Sure.
No, you're not in the last 5.
2017-18?
You're not in the last 5, but you are in the last 5.
Is
for
it?
Celtic.
Oh my
there
goodness.
There you go.
What about Samaras?
Samaras, yes. Yeah.
Right, so you've got 2 Rangers and 1 Celtic to get. Let's bring in Brian. Brian, we have undeniably been here many times. What does this Champions League defeat feel like?
Gordon, I mean, it's getting to the stage now. It's just, we're becoming a laughing stock in Europe. I mean, this has been going on now for over 10 years. I mean, when I was a young man, I remember going to the games when Kenny was actually playing with Celtic at the time, and Celtic would go out and beat Benfica 3-0, and Kenny, I think Kenny scored a couple of goals that night. I was at that game.
Number 9 on his back.
I just remember like games like that, and Celtic used to be, especially at home, used to be really hard to beat. And we used to sign, maybe the players we signed maybe weren't the top players, but the players we signed at the time were maybe guys that had came from bigger clubs, and maybe Celtic gave them an opportunity to come in and play in the European stage. Guys like Vinegar Hesselink, guys like Yuri Yarashik, Massimo Donati, guys all come in and contributed and scored goals for Celtic in the Champions League. And I look at the team now, and you're just wondering, if Keogh goes down, or, you know what I mean, where's the goal coming from? I mean, you can't seem to see where Celtic is going to get a goal in half these games. And I just think the guys at the top of the club, they really need to wake up. And I mean, every year we're posting these profits, say 40 million, 30 million. I mean, it's about time they actually dipped into some of this and started bringing in a, I think that's what Celtic need. They need 2 or 3 really good players from maybe top clubs maybe only get a chance at some of these bigger clubs if we come in and just squat right into the first team at Celtic and maybe take us on a level, because at the minute watching this, it's absolutely dreadful. As Jock Steen said back in the day, the Celtic shirt does not shrink to fit in inferior players. And at the minute, I'm sorry to say it, but Celtic's just got a bunch of inferior players that aren't good enough for European football.
Well, I think you'll find Brendan Rodgers will come out tonight, and I'm sure he'll say that he feels his team can compete at this level, as he's been saying for since he had come back to Celtic Football Club. But the problem is, and as the caller Brian said there, they can't win games.
It's the record, isn't it? Brian said to it's laughable or something. No one's watching that game tonight and going, ha ha, this is a laughably bad performance from Celtic. But they add up to a laughable record. It's, what is that, 15 in the Champions League without a victory?
As time went on, Gordon, I'm sure we're not alone here. I think Celtic fans watching it in the stadium and obviously around the world on their TVs are thinking, as the game was progressing, this has got to be the same old story. And it happened to be that way, and it was two quick goals, and all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, 5 minutes ago we were in this game. We were looking okay. We were trying to get forward. We tried to create chances. We were competing at this level. But it's fine margins. And the quality of the striker that come on the pitch, 200 plus goals in his career, top striker, massive difference.
But there are different categories as well, Kenny. You know, we had these conversations after Atletico, but Atletico are genuinely very good European elite. Lazio aren't. They're definitely not. We've now seen them for 180 minutes. They are not a brilliant Champions League side. They're miles from it, in fact, and Celtic haven't managed to take a point off them.
Yeah, and again, it's been the moments in the game that have decided. I think Brian's right in one respect, that it's not even about the money in the bank and all the profits. The squad's too big. I think we talked about this last week. The squad's way too big. It is diluted with, again, maybe players that are maybe not good enough at this level to make an impact. So if, again, Brendan Rodgers came in the summer and he's talking about wanting to make an impact, wanting to progress in Europe, because the domestic thing, they're going to be competitive, they're always going to have success. But if he wants to progress in Europe, you need a better, a higher quality player in these days, in these games, to make a difference. And that's not having a 34-man squad, 33-man squad. That's by getting rid of six or seven of that and maybe getting two guys that can compete at this level. Not compete, actually. Can make the difference in this. So whether it's scoring or whether it's creating or whether it's just doing something that the players at the moment aren't. And listen, these are all things that Brendan Rodgers will know about. It's things we've already talked about. And it needs to be addressed for moving into other seasons if Celtic are in the Champions League, because they're competitive, they're there in the game. The game's there to be taken by the scruff of the neck, but there's maybe just no the player or players that like to actually go and do it and take advantage of that.
What do you think, Brian?
I honestly just think it's woeful. I mean, it's the same every single time you watch Celtic, you know, it's some sort of excuse, oh, well, we're in the game, and then, we got outdone last minute, or we got outdone with a moment of brilliance. I mean, I remember when Celtic were doing this to other teams, I remember when Nakamura was firing in free kicks, or, you know what I mean, guys were putting up with Samara asking late headers, a very good head. Kenny Miller scored a few goals, Scott McDonald. I mean, I look at the Celtic team now, like I said, you're wondering where the goals are coming from. I mean, if Kyogo's not getting decent service, then we've no chance of getting a goal. I mean, it's embarrassing to watch, and I just think, honestly, we all thought when Brendan was coming back that he must be getting some sort of big money to spend. He must be getting, again, reassurances that he's going to be bringing in a few top players. And he came in and we've been hitting the guys like Thiago Holm and that haven't even started tonight. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it anymore, guys. It's beyond a joke now. It's absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah, I think lots of fans will feel like that, Gordon, and it seems, we've said this before, but you can't ignore it when it then happens again. The moment, Brian's talking about failure to go and win games, go and create, go and score, but also the moments that Celtic manage to undo themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do they either... Well, look at this group stage. Two players sent off in Rotterdam, one sent off in Madrid. Penalties conceded in the past, and also
late goal to Lazio.
But also conceding, maybe it's just me, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like in Europe Celtic concede quick fire goals a lot. You know, concede one, then concede another to absolutely extinguish all hopes. It feels like they get the big moments wrong all the time, and as Brian says, you can't that's not meant to be some sort of excuse and say, oh, you're unlucky, because it can't be unlucky if it happens all the time.
I think they get the big moments wrong at both ends of the pitch. You know, Brian was basically concentrating in the top half there with scoring goals. How many goals has Celtic lost in this campaign? You know, and if you're going to compete at that level, then you've got to be hard to break down defensively as well. You can go back to, you know, they had that point in the bag at Celtic Park and they lost a late goal against Lazio. The amount of set plays they've lost. So it's been a poor night for them.
I think it's a really good call, Brian, and one that will just set the tone for tomorrow. The timing is not brilliant for us. So tomorrow we give it the full going over the analysis of what happened to Celtic in Rome. So get the number on speed dial and give us a shout. Before we go, quickly, who are the last five players to wear number 9 for Rangers and Celtic? Dessers, Colak and Defoe. Haksabanovic, Griffiths, Samaras and Miller was in the last five Celtic number 9s.
I'm going Kadeti.
Yes, that's you done with Celtic.
Sadiq.
Yep. One more.
Never
yeah,
got
no
him.
No wonder.
Did you see his goal for Sociedad at the weekend?
Come on, give us a... No.
Out of this world, it
right.
was.
Need close here, Gordon.
His Rangers career didn't come to much, and he's never a number 9, if that, you know what I mean, positionally. But since he left, he's actually doing all right, and he came from a very big club on loan.
Diallo.
Ahmad Diallo. There we go.
Oh, I never got up.
Were you there with Sadiq?
No.
No, you can't.
I can't believe there's been 5 number 9 since then.
Well, exactly. There we go. Right, tomorrow it promises to be one of those nights. Celtic fans, we will do it all. Where did it go wrong on the night? Where is it going wrong overall? It is a miserable, miserable run in the Champions League, and we will reflect on it tomorrow in the company of Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell. And of course, it will be match day minus one in UEFA speak for Rangers as well. So it will be a very busy show. Make sure you join us. And Callum Gallagher is up next.